listening to a Cancer-Free Frontier podcast.
To create and provide better treatments today,
we can bring these discoveries and the science-based medicine to people in need around the state, the region, and the world.
I feel like the future is very bright, and I can't even imagine what cancer care is going to look like over the next 50 years.
To continue that journey to eradicate cancer from the face of the earth.
Hello, and welcome to a Cancer-Free Frontier podcast, where we ask the question, can we create a cancer-free frontier? I'm your host, Heather Simonson. Today on the podcast, we're talking about the challenges in creating a cancer-free frontier and what Huntsman Cancer Institute is doing to make that vision a reality. We have a remarkable guest joining us this morning. First, we have Bryn Coombs from Star, Idaho. Bryn is a wife and the mother of 7-year-old twins, a boy and a girl. Bryn also has ovarian cancer. Bryn, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm just so thrilled that you're here today. I've gotten to know Bryn, and I can just tell our listeners, you are going to walk away from this podcast feeling different about the world because she is such a special person. And Bryn, let's dive into your story. When did you first know something wasn't right?
You know, I have to say, when I've talked to friends or family members that have had cancer, I felt like there were a lot of signs. They weren't feeling well. They had gone to the doctor a few times. I did not have that experience. I was actually in Ghana, Africa. I was on a medical mission, just assisting the doctors and nurses there. And I had an amazing time. And on the way back, the flight's very long. And so I had to sit in a certain position for many hours. And while I was sitting in that position, I started to have kind of a side ache, like a stitch between my sort of my leg and my side. And I kept repositioning myself on the plane, and I just couldn't get comfortable. And when I got home the very next day, I told my husband, because we as a family were taking a trip a few days later, I said, I'm just going to run to the ER. I probably have some kind of infection. Get on some antibiotics, and we'll be on our way, so I'll be started before we go on this next trip. And he asked me, you want me to go with you? And I'm thinking, nothing related to cancer. It's not on my radar at all. And I said, no, it's going to be so quick. So I went to the ER, and they did a CT scan. And there's a sign in the ER that says, if you got a CT scan, you're going to be waiting about 3 hours. So I thought, I'll take a nap. A few hours later, the doctor came and woke me up, and he just said, I've reviewed your scans, and I've had another doctor review your scans, and they're very concerning. We have several large masses in your ovaries, as well as your various areas in your pelvis. So my liver, my diaphragm, and so on. And I said, well, so are we talking, could be a cyst or it could be cancer? And he said, exactly, but I've asked oncology to see you very urgently. So I really didn't have a lot of signs. And since I've sort of researched it coming into this, it says 80% of people don't have any symptoms until later stages.
That is so terrifying. And I can only imagine, I mean, you're a young mother of beautiful boy-girl twins. And in that moment, can you take us to how you were feeling with that very scary news of, you know, this could be anything from a cyst to cancer?
I'm not an alarmist. I'm quite a realist. And I think I understood that it was cancer, to be honest. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be sending me to oncology and large masses. So I pretty well understood that without him saying it. My mind took such a life shift in that moment, and I was alone receiving that information. And everything becomes really simplified. That might sound strange. You think it's probably going to become more complicated, but you see so clearly the only things that matter, and everything else just falls away. And all I could think about was my family. You know, every mom wants to raise their babies. And every wife wants to be sure that her husband's going to be okay. So there was obviously those thoughts in regards to longevity, but there were also the thoughts of, what does this look like? I mean, I have no place to start from. This is literally my first rodeo. What does treatment look like? And how do we find out what doctor to choose? What hospitals offer various services? Is it going to send us to bankruptcy? You know, all those questions you start asking yourself because you have no idea what the costs are, what insurance covers. Can you stay where you are? Do you have to move? Are you going to need to get a new job? Do you have to sell your house? I mean, your mind's just moving so fast with so many questions.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And especially tell us about Star, Idaho. It sounds so lovely. And I'm actually really jealous because I'm sure the beauty and the charm is what took you there.
Right. So Star is about 45 minutes outside of Boise. And when we initially moved there, it was a farming community of about 5,000 people. Everybody kind of knew each other, which was wonderful. Anybody would help you with anything. And I'm going to say, quite frankly, that's still true because going through this situation, I can't believe the amount of help that we've received. But it's got rolling hills, orchards, you know, cows, all those fun things. We just got our first two grocery stores. We just got an Albertsons. And we have two drive-thrus now. I know that sounds silly, but when you're in a small town like that, every business is a pretty big deal.
For sure. Date night, right? Go through the drive-thru. And like those little things are so fun, especially in your small town, to be able to get more access. And accessibility is what we're talking about today, because especially when you have a cancer diagnosis, that becomes a challenge. Access to top-notch, world-class cancer care that you deserve. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges of traveling far from home for treatment.
Well, we initially moved to Salt Lake once we decided Huntsman was the place for us. We moved to Salt Lake for 5 or 6 months. I recognize most people can't do that. We are lucky enough to own our own business and be able to work remotely. However, if that wasn't the case, I don't think we would have been able to come to Huntsman, honestly. And I think a lot of people are in that position. Or you have to sacrifice quite a lot to come. You know, like I talked about, sell your house, get a new job, be away from your family for quite some time. However, when my kids did return to school, they went back to Star with my husband, and I stayed to finish out my larger rounds. And that's so hard. That is so hard when you're away from the support of your friends and family, and you don't get to hug your kids and tuck them in every night and, you know, just process things with your husband. It's a very isolating feeling. But you know you have to do it because the idea is you want to be better long term.
Exactly. And that's why you made that decision, like you said, to like essentially move with your family to Salt Lake for a little while. But that presents even more challenges as far as like you can't really rent a place short term. It's hard to get less than like a year lease. And I know you have told me that you've really, despite these challenges, really seen the best in humanity. Would you say that's true, that you've just really seen a different side of the world?
there are a lot of trials or hardships, challenges with this situation. But I will say there are also these precious experiences that I don't know that I would have gotten any other way. And so I don't have any hair. My hair fell out like 13 days after my first chemo. So my situation is obvious. And of course, most people's situation are as obvious as mine is, just based on the hair loss. But everywhere I go, people are so gracious. I don't care what religion you are, what life status you have. What we're seeing in the media is not entirely reflective of what's going on, because people have come out of the woodwork literally to show me and my family love and kindness. I mean, they've mowed our lawn, they've trimmed our bushes, they've brought us meals, they've, you know, done our laundry, they've watched my kids, which is the most precious thing to me in the world. But also, when I'm out and about, strangers come up to me. Complete strangers come up to me and they'll ask to pray over me, or they'll ask what they can do for me. I've had people just hear from a friend what was going on with me, and they've done something for my family, not knowing us at all. And I've cried many times about what I've seen in mankind since this has happened. Because when people are put to the test to rise to the occasion, people everywhere are good.
It's so good to hear that. And you absolutely deserve that, Bryn. And that was true with the housing challenge, right?
Correct.
When you were here, you ended up, was it through a friend that you found housing here?
Yes. In fact, we sort of put the word out because, as you said, housing's a challenge if you have a family. Now, Huntsman does have resources for those who live out of the area. You know, there are heavily discounted hotel rooms. There's a lodge. But if you have children and it's going to be more long term, there just aren't a lot of resources. And you, as you mentioned, you can't go and rent a place for 5-6 months. No one's going to do that for you. Or so we thought. But we just put the word out and we told people, you know, when we were looking at housing, what our situation was. And we had a number of people who offered for us to use their homes or their extra homes or their rental homes. And so it actually didn't end up being as big of a challenge as we really thought it was going to be, because so many people said, you know, I'm going to sacrifice for this family, which they didn't have to do.
Yeah, totally. It's so good to hear. And yet it's also difficult. Your kids aren't next to their best friends on the street. They're not at their school at that tender age. Like you said, there's times when you have to be away from them and your heart just aches. Can we even quantify the healing power of family and community? I mean, that is really important, is it not?
It's huge. In fact, during our research, we were looking at hospitals that were even further away than Huntsman. As we were gathering our information, and we talked to a few people that have been dealing with various types of cancers for quite a long time, and the feedback that we got, which I think was so valuable and actually sort of really honed in pretty quick coming to Huntsman, and that was they said, don't underestimate the value of your family and friends and how important that is to this process, because that's the most important thing you're trying to live for anyway. And that being far away can be incredibly isolating.
It really can. And, this is a major focus of Huntsman Cancer Institute is, you know, we serve 17% of the U.S. land mass. That's the largest geographic region of any National Cancer Institute designated comprehensive cancer center. And we take that very seriously. And so we have one screening bus. We are acquiring a second one. We are partnering with affiliate hospitals. to make it possible for more patients to get world-class care where they live. Is there anything else that's made this journey easier for you? You mentioned the housing, which is huge. Is there anything else that's made it easier for you as far as living so far away from Huntsman Cancer Institute?
Yes, a few things. I'll tell you, the community here is wonderful. There's a ton of things for families. And even the people in the neighborhood that we lived in created a wonderful sense of community. They helped us out in some times of need, which was really nice. But also, Huntsman Cancer Institute itself has some dynamics that really made it more comfortable for our family. And that is, they offer art therapy. My kids were going to art therapy and painting. They offer music therapy. My kids were there playing music. They have a wellness center. And they also have, lists of places that you can go or take your children for therapy. So they provide a lot of resources for us, I guess, on the emotional side. Was very difficult, especially for my children. Now, my husband, I shouldn't say that. My husband had a lot on his plate, and he was working and taking care of me and trying to entertain the children. But the dynamics of our family changing because I was so sick was incredibly hard on the kids. It wasn't just moving to a community. It was what was happening inside of our own home, which would happen anywhere. That is, I wasn't with them every day. I wasn't the one taking them, on a bike ride or to the park or, to a class. And that was, they would say today, if you asked them, that they don't like cancer very much.
I bet. Totally. And Bryn, I won't ever forget the day. It was the day of our open house of our new Catherine F. Kirk Center for Comprehensive Cancer Care and Women's Cancers. And I was on the phone with your husband, and he said, "I am coming." I could tell it was like this, I'm dropping everything and I'm coming to learn more and to meet you. And he got in the car and drove with your best friend. Showed up, you could just tell how much he loves you and adores you, and just like went on every floor and looked and just soaked it all in. You could tell his mission was getting you the very best cancer care possible. And wow, what a gift. What a gift.
I'm married to a good man. And I know not everybody gets that. And I recognize I'm married to a very good man.
Mm-hmm. Your love is apparent and very inspiring. Let's talk about how you're doing now, Bryn. How are you?
Well, there's obviously a lot of levels to that. Physically, I'm exhausted, to be honest. I'm so tired. But that's not all I am. I still have many days with a lot of great memories and time with friends and family and going to, comedy shows and concerts and those kinds of things. I'm at the point in my treatment right now where I have done a number of very heavy rounds of chemo, and we are doing scans. That's actually why I'm here right now. We're doing scans to see sort of where that's at, how my body's reacted to the chemo, and then what direction we're taking. Obviously, the hope is that I'm going into what they call maintenance therapy would be the first part of that. So I'd come down every 21 days for an infusion. But also, I have been lucky enough, and this is something in my area that we don't have that Huntsman has, and that is Huntsman does trials of the latest and greatest medications and procedural things. So I actually qualified for a trial, which I'm so grateful for. I've never been happier to have to have more disease in my tumor than I was anticipating, and which qualified me for this particular trial. But that's essentially, it's a PARP inhibitor that they've had some really good results with. And it's, so it's a chemo pill that I'll just take every day. And they're anticipating that adding years. Can't beat that.
You cannot beat that. And I'm so glad that you're a part of that trial and that you're doing so well, so remarkably well. You and I were talking earlier, it must be so frustrating as a mother, you know, you, like you said, you're used to volunteering in the class and you're used to taking them everywhere. And it's so frustrating when you're recovering from chemotherapy and you can't do those things. But I just have the strongest impression that, Bryn, you are showing your children courage in the face of remarkable challenges, awesome challenges, and kids learn by watching, right? They learn from our example more than anything we say. And I think that's pretty amazing that you're teaching them courage and what is possible during really hard things.
Well, hard things are, they come all our way, and they're going to come my children's way, whether I want it to or not. And so I need them to know that no matter what the outcome of this or any other hard thing that happens in our lives as a family, that we will be able to surrender to what is and find a way to find joy and happiness in life. Whatever the outcome is going to be. And we have to be resourceful and find the ways to find joy outside of life situations that we have no control over.
That's so profound. And I'm tearing up here because, to surrender to what is. What a powerful statement, really, for all of us and the challenges that we face. And finding that joy in every day, however small. Thank you for teaching us that. Bryn, the final question I want to ask, which we ask all our guests, what does a cancer-free frontier mean to you?
For me, I recognize that I have some privileges in this situation. And for instance, you know, our ability to move here. However, I also see there are so many people, even in my own community, that are suffering from various types of cancer that simply can't do what we've done. And everybody should have access to the highest level of care, even if it's just getting a second opinion. Because the area that I'm from, I felt like the people were wonderful. The care I got was great. I would never put them down in any way. However, there are simply resources that an institute that actually does research for cancer, they just have access to groups of collaborators. They have access to the latest and greatest equipment. They have access to medications within trials and things that simply not all hospitals have, whether they want it or not. I mean, I believe most doctors want the best for their patients, but they simply may not have access to the resources that a place like Huntsman has. And so I guess a cancer-free frontier for me would mean everybody has access to the resources for the best healthcare if they chose to pursue that.
Well, we could not have a better endorsement than that. And so thank you for that. And it's so well said. And that is our goal and the challenge to bring that to this vast area that we serve. Bryn, it's been such an honor having you here today. I just so appreciate you coming here and sharing your heart with us and your experience. Though we haven't known each other very long, I feel like you're a soul sister.
I like that. I'll take it.
And so I'm better because I know you. and you're my friend. So thank you.
I feel the same way. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
We sincerely thank Bryn Coombs for being our guest for part one of this episode. For part two, we'll talk with Dr. Sachin Apte, physician in chief at Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Dr. Cornelia Ulrich, our chief scientific officer, about the solutions to the challenges Bryn talked about. For additional resources, be sure to check out our show notes. And if you want to stay connected with us and be the first to know about our upcoming episodes, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. We'd truly appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a rating or a review. Your feedback is incredibly meaningful. And please tell your friends and family about our podcast and share episodes on social media. I'm your host and executive producer of A Cancer-Free Frontier, Heather Simonson. Avery Schrader is our producer with the help of Carly Lehauli and Jill Woods. A special thanks to The Pod Mill and Mix It 6 Studios for their help with this episode.